Biographies and contemporary music. Our subject, Renaissance. Foregone conclusion that when a rock group takes a name, they indeed attempt to choose one that will in some way manifest the character of the music they create or the personality of the players. I cannot think of any contemporary group to paint a more graphic picture of their music with a name than Renaissance. Annie Haslam claims Renaissance is the perfect name because the word is an emotional one that means rebirth. And the music the group plays is the rebirth of classical music translated into the contemporary idiom. The sound of Renaissance is fascinating, hardly one you might think the average rock fan would appreciate. But rock fans have a well-honed sense of judgment, and their appreciation for this unorthodox music grows daily. We'll explore the history of Renaissance, which is as unusual and fascinating as their sound, after this word about tea. Say iced tea. What pops into your mind? Well, it pops into my throat first. Just hearing the words, I can almost feel that refreshing sensation of that cool liquid sliding down and bringing forth a kind of for me, without even thinking about it. Most cold drinks are frustrating. They feel nice on your tongue. But does your throat say, how nice? Am I getting too technical? All I really wanted to do was remind you that iced tea is refreshing, satisfying, non-filling, non-fattening, and thirst-quenching. I guess I don't have to say anything more. Set The history of Renaissance is most fascinating to me because it's the only group I know of which has a continuous history and yet features none of the original members of the band. The name remains, but the personnel has undergone a complete metamorphosis. It appears after investigation that there was a link between the old personnel and the current members, and that link is Michael Dunford.
I joined the band in 1969 because I knew John Hawkin, the original keyboard player. I'd played with him in a band called the Nashville Teens many, many years ago. And I've just been starting writing, and he was helping out doing some demos in the studio. Then he said that he had just got together with Keith Ralph and Jim McCarty, and they formed this band called Renaissance, and I went along to see them, and I really liked what they were doing, you know.
Renaissance did two albums with the original band, Keith Ralph, Jane Ralph, Jim McCarty, Louis Sonamo, and John Hawkin. And the oddity of the Renaissance story is that the present Renaissance fairly duplicate the sound of the original, despite the fact that no member of the original band remains. This is from the very first Renaissance album.
There is an island.
eventually split up. They really didn't want a tour. They were content to do two or three shows a month, which economically was not feasible. And then there was a further problem, not an uncommon one among musicians. Michael Dunford remembers it well.
Jim McCarty had this tremendous fear of flying. And on a couple of occasions when they were going off to Europe, he just went bananas at the airport. And they had to cancel the tour, you know. So I was doing some demos with John Hawkin, and it was just he and Jane Ralph left. And that's when I came into the band, playing electric guitar. And Neil Corner, the bass player, and Terry Crowe, the singer. And drummer by the name of Terry Slade. I think we did a couple of festivals in Europe. Then Jane decided she couldn't handle it anymore. Then there was Pinky Cullen, who's a folk singer. She joined for a while. Then we did some more shows, and that's when John Hawkin had an offer to play with Spooky Tooth. So through a friend of our manager at that time, knew somebody who knew John, and we'd previously put an ad in the Melody Maker for a keyboard player, but John came down, and that was it. You know, John was the man. Was Binky in the band then?
Yes.
Yeah, she was. It didn't really work out with her. She was a little bit too folky. Her voice just wasn't quite right. That's when we decided to put an ad in the paper, and that's when Annie should now really pick the story up.
It was in 1970, actually, end of the year. There was an advert in the Melody Maker for a folk soprano. And I went along for the audition. And I got the job, actually, on New Year's Day, 1971.
John Kemp, strangely enough, was also recruited through Melody Maker.
I sort of auditioned the same as everybody else through the Melody Maker for... I had a habit of putting in these sort of like very well-worded adverts, which I have a suspicion that Tout wrote. That sort of like got you along, ever so interested, you know. We had a tour coming up, we were auditioning people, and this guy came along and we said, fine, good, boom. So off we went and did a three-week tour of Europe. And at the end of it, it was like, thanks for touring, but you're not the right person, you know. So we held auditions again. Terry came down and was one of about, I think, 60 or 70 drummers, got the job. And about 14 days or 11 gigs later, we went straight into the studios and did the first album, Prologue.
We'll continue with the story of Renaissance after this break for some iced tea, which may elicit from you a remark like, "Why iced tea, Allie? It's not all that hot out." Well, I always think of iced tea. I mean, it's the great American drink, isn't it? I mean, 24 billion glasses a year? That makes it, doesn't it? The answer is, iced tea is not just a warm weather drink. It's thirst-quenching, satisfying, and refreshing even in the dead of winter. I mean, you do get thirsty in the winter, don't you? Well, think of iced tea as the universal drink, anywhere, any place, any time, which is also easy these days. It comes in so many ways, even in cans, ready to drink. Now, I've answered all your questions, haven't I? Well, actually, I guess they were my questions. What's the difference? Just remember, drink iced tea. There's lots more to the Renaissance story, and we'll take it up after these words from some of the people who make the program possible. You're tuned to WNEW FM in New York, and 102.7 on your dial. And here's the current World Series score brought to you by Tipperillo, the light smoke with the pure white tip you don't have to inhale to enjoy. And it's, it's a dead heat, folks. In case you haven't been keeping up with it, the Dodgers scored in the ninth inning, and so they are in the top of the tenth inning. Overtime, extra innings, it's 3-3, and the Dodgers are up. Sparky Lyle is pitching. It's going to be close. It's going to be very close. But we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted. Like I said before, I can't tell you to lean back. Who can lean back in this kind of a game? But anyway, light up your Tipperillo.
Why be uptight? Take it real light. Lay back and lighten up with a Tipperillo.
We used to be heavy smokers.
For us, days began and ended with a cigarette. And then we discovered Tipperillos.
A mild-tasting light smoke that's so flavorful you don't have to inhale to enjoy it.
Now, instead of lighting up a cigarette,
we lighten up with a Tipperillo.
Lay back and lighten up with a Tipperillo.
Okay. You know that here at WNEW-FM, we make a tremendous effort to keep you informed of all the important music events, the concert happenings, the important new releases. And this is news about a series of events that can affect each of you. This news is guaranteed to improve the way you listen to music at home, and it's absolutely free. All through this month of October, Harvey Sound is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they've invited experts from the world's leading audio and video manufacturers to appear at their stores in person to meet with you. People from Advent, AR, Macintosh, Lux, Nakamichi, Tandberg, the list is endless. These pros will answer all your questions, perform free services on your equipment, as well as present the latest advancements in the state of the art. And it's all free. Stop in at any Harvey Sound and pick up a free program or call 575-5000. Make sure you don't miss anything this October when the pros come to Harvey Sound, the home of the professionals. Renaissance did not come to success easily. John Tout remembers it this way.
You know, we were traveling up and down the country, not getting anywhere particularly. Just prior to Ashes of Burning, we were almost thinking of, folding up. But then we went into the studio at Ashes of Burning, and some spark seemed to happen. Ashes of Burning, I think, Can You Understand? I think was the first thing that Michael wrote that really was sort of classically orientated, and really got our teeth into that number. And then Ashes Are Burning, and I think we suddenly found the direction. And also, of course, we forgot to mention that up until that time, of course, on Prolo we'd had an electric guitarist called Rob Hendry, and I think that was, although we didn't know it at the time, was something that was jarring, something that wasn't quite right. And of course, when Rob Hendry left, almost just before we went in to do the next album, the Ashes Are Burning album, and we were stuck for a guitarist, and we asked Michael to come in, seeing as Michael was still writing the songs, to come in and play acoustic guitar on the tracks. And it was then, I think, that we realised that we didn't need an electric guitar, and things sounded much, much nicer with just acoustic guitars. And we, from then on, I think that was the turning point when Michael rejoined, and one, two, three, four, the five of us were as we are now, and we produced a nice album that we were pleased with. And that was the album, I think, that really opened us over here.
Pause here for some words from our sponsors, and then we'll continue with the story of Renaissance. WNEW FM in stereo.
If you were going to pick a college to go to, you wouldn't pick one just because it was close. The same should be true if you're looking into a career in radio and television broadcasting. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting is just a short drive from New York in nearby Stratford, Connecticut. And believe me, it's worth the trip. Connecticut School of Broadcasting is one of the most complete broadcasting schools you'll find anywhere. At Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Stratford, the emphasis is on practical education in the broadcasting field. That means you learn by doing. At Connecticut School of Broadcasting, you'll learn all the ins and outs of the radio and TV business from area pros. Best of all, the same modern studios you learn in during class time are yours for hours of practice after school hours. Connecticut School of Broadcasting has a free lifetime placement service, which has already placed hundreds of graduates in radio and TV jobs all over the country. Would you drive a few miles to change your entire life? Sure you would. Call Connecticut School of Broadcasting, Main Street in Stratford at 203, then 378-5155.
At the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, classes that begin October 31st could lead to a broadcast career by January.
Hello, sunshine. Hello, Mountain Dew. With the lemony look of sunshine and the different taste that's right for you. It's fresh as sunrise.
Mountain Dew.
It pours like sunshine.
Mountain Dew.
Refreshing as morning. The whole day through.
The lemony taste of Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, a totally different soft drink with the lemony freshness and color of sunshine. Brighten your day with Mountain Dew.
Hello, sunshine! Hello, Mountain Dew!
It was Ashes of Burning that introduced Renaissance to many people in America, and that acceptance gave the members of the group a much more positive attitude.
Coming to America inspired us to carry on.
The faith in the music was the most important thing that's kept Renaissance going all these years, I think. You know, I mean, even when we weren't accepted and we were going down to Cornwall, you know, which is the end of England, and a dozen people would turn up and clap us, we think, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because somebody likes the music, you know.
Then Renaissance experienced a major change.
Miles went in over the top and was declared bankrupt. Therefore, the whole scene was liquidated.
Everything was transferred over when we changed managers to John Cher. Everything was sort of transferred over.
So what's ours is now ours.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
We really were fighting for it for years, and all of a sudden it was like, there it is, it's yours.
That's the voice of John Camp, who generally echoes the feeling of the group members that then really being Renaissance, no longer a remnant or holdover from a group of other musicians with whom they felt no connection. The first album under the guidance of John Shear was with a new label, and it was Turn of the Cards.
I love you like a stream flows restless to the sea. Touches clouds, touches me. See you in the stars, wherever you may be. I think of you, think of you. Thank you.
turn of the cards gained them more new friends in America. Strangely enough, although it is a story often repeated by British groups, their popularity here is much more widespread than on their home ground. However, it does seem to be growing in England. Terry Sullivan has analyzed the situation.
In England, the audience we've got now, I think, has been influenced by our American sales and reading that we are successful in America to a degree. And I think that's picked up, that's made more people aware of us and more interested in us. The last English tour we did, well, that cost us money to do it. We thought we'd put on as good a show as we could, you know, so we obviously lost money. We had a really good response from everywhere, from all the radio stations up north. We did a lot of interviews, and the papers were pretty fair this time.
Of course, the group also has to fight the battle of the English rock critics, who seem to be a lot tougher on their own British bands. John Tout describes the feeling which seems to be prevalent among British musicians.
It was the last day of the tour in, we played in London, which was our largest sellout date. It was about 3,000 people on that tour. And, you know, the band, we know when we sort of like do a good performance, and we did a great night. You know, that was really good. Everybody came off saying, yeah, that was good, you know, it really felt good. And the audience reaction was marvellous. Yeah, we had a most awful review in the paper.
In 1975, Renaissance presented their most ambitious album to the world, Scheherazade and Other Stories. The title cut thrilled New York audiences when they performed it at Carnegie Hall with the help of a 26-piece orchestra and choir. This cut, which became very popular, also appears in Scheherazade.
Try to take it all away, learn her freedom just inside a day, and find her soul to find their fears allayed. Try to make her love their own, they took her love, they left her there, they gave her nothing back that she would want to own. Gold and silver, rings and stones, dances slowly off the moon, no one else can know, she stands alone. Sleeping dreams will reach for her, she cannot say the words they need, she knows she's alone and she is free. Ocean gypsy on the moon, the sun has made a thousand miles for you to hold. Ocean gypsy, where are you? The shadows follow by the stars, have turned to gold, turned to gold. Then she met a hollow soul, filled him with her light and was consoled. She was the moon and he the sun was gold. Eyes were blinded with his light, the sun she gave reflected back the night. The moon was waning almost out of sight. Softly ocean gypsy,
oh.
ripple to the tide, the ebbing waves, the turning, spreading wide. Something gone within her eyes, her fingers lightly stroke the sand. Her battered soul was lost, she was abandoned. Silken threads like wings still shine, winds take pleasure, still make patterns in her lovely hair, so dark and fine. Stands on high beneath the seas, cries no more, her tears are dried. Oceans weep for her,
Before we continue with our Renaissance biography, we'll take some tea time. Tea time is generally acknowledged to be a very English custom, but you'd be surprised how much time is devoted to tea in America. The only difference is, with the American way of nonconformity, tea time can be any time. Morning, afternoon, you pick it, and it works. Tea. Iced tea is great with lunch. Remember, it's got practically no calories, even if you add a spoon of sugar and a squirt of lemon, a mere 16. Then in the late afternoon, when our British cousins are sipping tea, a glass of iced tea really sets you up to finish the day. And then at dinner, to top off that evening meal in a non-filling manner, iced tea, of course. And at bedtime, with a cookie maybe? Uh-oh, I discovered your secret. I won't tell. Just you keep drinking iced tea and my lips are sealed. On the cookie matter, of course, not on the end of my musical biography. Our musical biography of Renaissance will continue after this pause for some sponsor messages. You're tuned to WNEW FM in stereo, 102.7 on your FM dial. And here's the current World Series score, brought to you by Tipperillo, the light smoke with the pure white tip you don't have to inhale to enjoy. We're at the bottom of the 11th inning. This could go on all night, folks. The Yankees are coming up to bat. My chair is squeaking, and the score is still 3-3. And we will keep you posted as things happen. Lean back. Lighten up with the Tipperillo.
Why be uptight? Take it real light. Lay back and lighten up with the Tipperillo.
We used to be heavy smokers.
For us, days began and ended with a cigarette. And then we discovered Tipperillos.
A mild-tasting light smoke that's so flavorful you don't have to inhale to enjoy it.
Now, instead of lighting up a cigarette,
we lighten up with a Tipperillo.
Lay back and lighten up with a Tipperillo.
Well, in keeping you informed of all the events pertaining to music, we do pretty well cover the scene, all the concert happenings, all the new releases, even a little news here and there. And here's news about a series of events that can affect each and every one of you. In fact, this news is guaranteed to improve the way you listen to music at home, and the best part is it's absolutely free. All through this month of October, Harvey Sound is celebrating their 50th anniversary. They've invited experts from the world's leading audio and video manufacturers to appear at their stores in person to meet with you. People from Advent, AR, Macintosh, Lux, Nakamichi, Tandberg, the list is endless. These pros will answer all your questions, perform free services on your equipment, as well as present the latest advancements in the state of the art, and it's all free. Stop in at any Harvey Sound and pick up a free program or call 575-5000. Make sure you don't miss anything this month. October, when the pros come to Harvey Sound, the home of the professionals. Renaissance created such an impact with their Carnegie Hall concerts that a year later, Sire released those concerts as an album, Renaissance Live at Carnegie Hall, which became one of the most popular and best-selling albums of 1976. Renaissance flew to America at Christmas time last year specifically to do a benefit concert for cerebral palsy under the auspices of WNEW-FM in New York. The concert was sold out in a matter of hours after being announced. The popularity of the group seemed to be growing much more rapidly. They previewed the material from their forthcoming album, Novella, to thunderous acceptance. And the peak of their performance was demonstrated when they appeared at Radio City Music Hall, the perfect environment for Renaissance. They appeared complete with spectacular light show and medieval backdrop. Those ingredients, together with the picture created by Annie Haslam, her long hair flowing and her medieval costumes, and the romantic appearance and presentation of all the members of the group, achieved for Renaissance a breathtaking spectacle. The dates were total sellouts, and the critics raved. Novella is the most recent album, and the group has again accomplished what seems so impossible, topped themselves. I asked whether they could continue to do this. Terry Sullivan speaks for the entire band.
I take things as they come. I don't have big projections. I want us to do more film music. I want us to do better albums. And I want us to continue as a unit, all pushing for what we want to do, which is get our music across to more people and make better music and fulfill ourselves more as musicians. I know I've fulfilled myself tremendously since joining this band. I joined the band as a rock drummer, and now I'm so into percussion and so into classical music, thanks mainly to John Tout, that it's a good band to be with, you know.
Success will never come easy to Renaissance. They've elected to present an unorthodox sound to a public once tuned only to guitars and drums and thumping beats. They've managed to combine the beauty of classical music written by Michael Dunford, lyrics of power and meaning written by Betty Thatcher, and yet they never lose the appeal of the rhythmic familiarity of the rock sound. But they are aware that, like other bands who find success, there will be no sitting back to just enjoy it.
I think it will always be a little bit of a struggle for bands like us, for some reason.
See you.
musical biography of Renaissance was brought to you by the Tea Council of America, who would like to remind you to drink iced tea. It's the universal American drink, the most popular, second only to water.